Good morning. I'm Lana Miller, undergraduate campus pastor. As I put together the PowerPoint, I was moved by the photos from NBC News. This was a year in review. Our world is indeed broken. We are broken and in need of a healer. At 24, I wrote these words in my journal. I feel like a vase that's been thrown out of a 10-story building. The pieces lying on the sidewalk continue to be crushed by feet walking over them, crushed into smaller and smaller, smaller pieces. Will they ever be put back together again? Will I ever feel whole? Will I ever be able to function again like a vase should carry any kind of water? God, why are you letting them do this to me? Help me. I've needed healing at various times in my life. I've experienced extreme pain, abandonment, fear, stress, and anxiety about the future, sometimes in more profound ways than others. Healing wasn't always instantaneous, but happened over time, and in many cases continues even today. The wounds, though healed in some ways, are still there, and they continue to speak into my life. They've changed me. Jesus did keep his promise. He's never left me, even when I left him. Jesus walked with me, not keeping me from suffering, but walking with me in it. Jesus didn't promise his disciples that life won't be difficult. Don't worry, there won't be any suffering. In fact, he promised just the opposite. Jesus knows that this world is not as he intended it to be, that God's kingdom has not yet come here on earth, and that we're waiting for someday creation to be restored and the world to be made right. But until that day, Jesus promised not to leave us. My experience with healing that has happened over time stands in stark contrast when you read in the book of Mark. Jesus casts out demons, heals a woman with a high fever, another with leprosy, makes a paralyzed man walk, forgives sins, heals a crippled hand, raises people from the dead. There are so many stories of healing instantaneously that it makes you wonder, why isn't Jesus doing this today? I mean, don't we all know somebody, if not ourselves, who needs healing? Or is Jesus doing this today? It sure doesn't feel like it when we pray and pray and pray. When I was asked to speak on this topic of who do you say that I am, I knew I needed to talk about Jesus as healer. I was afraid nobody else would take this on. I think we often sideline this idea of Jesus as healer. It's too difficult to explain. It raises more questions than it actually provides answers to. Is the absence of miracles in our experience due to our lack of faith? Does faith actually heal? Whose faith is essential? The sick person, the caregiver, the healer? Is there hope for someone who pushes the healer away? Do miracles still happen today? And why does Jesus heal some people and not others? But I know this. Jesus is a healer. But when we talk about healing, we do it with fear and trepidation because we can't control Jesus. We can't control when and how healing takes place. But we know that in Mark, the crowds were full of sick people and people who were caring for them. They didn't come to hear Jesus teaching. They came to be healed. Jesus was overwhelmed by so many sick people. When the Pharisees and disciples started asking him questions like, why do you hang out with notorious sinners and sick people? He said this, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've called to come sinners, not those who think they're already good enough. I've come to call the broken, those who recognize their need for me, not those who think they can do this life by themselves. Jesus' miracles showed he had divine power, and they caused people to question his true identity. His miracles declared that the kingdom of God was near. I'm going to invite you to do something that we don't do in chapel often. I don't know if we've ever done it since I've been here. I'm going to invite you to come up here and listen to a story. I guess it's like children's time at some churches. But I'm going to invite you to come up here to sit around this garment laying in the front. If you don't feel comfortable sitting on the floor up here, sit on the stairs, sit down in the first bench maybe, stand. It's okay to look like a crowd because I want you to imagine yourselves a part of this story. I'm going to tell you a story of Judith, who's a woman with the issue of blood in Mark. So I'd invite you to come, find a space around here, and listen to her story. My name is Judith. I have this day been freed from the bondage of blood. But you'll pardon me, it wasn't really this day of truth. It's now been years. But every day when I feel the joy of this deliverance, when I remember this miracle, it feels like it was this very day. I remember the sun was high in the sky as I traveled on that rocky road into town. The streets were narrow, but crowded. But pardon, I rush ahead of my story again. Nearly 10 years after I became a maiden, there was this loathsome burden. Without warning, a constant issue of blood. At first, I was frightened, and then impatient, and then angry, and then sick of heart. Why should I carry this mark? Why should I be cut off from my fellows with whispering and averted gaze? Why should I, who desires a husband, be thwarted of this shame? By this shame, the questions haunted me. Had I sinned in my innocent years? Was I perchance the child of some great sin? Why should I be the one to feel so much weight of the law each time I went to practice rituals? Many days, I cried out in helpless hurt. Every hour, I muttered my loathing. I grew to hate the prison of my disease. Each morning I woke happy, but only for a moment. Quickly, the weight of my illness settled on my chest like another millstone. Every night I prayed for death, to release me from the sign that set me apart. All day, every day, every hour, I wasn't free of the judgment against me. I suffered many things from my physicians. Cutting, herbs, charms, they tried to stanch the flow of blood. My living spent on them. Everything gone. I had nothing left. I refused to beg. But my labor for hire was always interrupted by my weakness. By turn, I shook my fist at Yahweh. I besought him to have mercy on me. I prayed. And I cursed. By turn, I lay in the trough of despair. Then I heard the prophet Jesus of Nazareth, who had brought healing to some 3 times in Capernaum. He came near where I was. 3 times I left my house to beg for mercy. 3 times I fought through the crowd around him, only to have him move by, the crowd overtaken him. I was near death in my spirit. The days crushed my hope, for I was getting worse instead of better. The nights hid my tears. Only the coverlet of my pillow, hung out to dry each morning, was a true companion of my misery. Then a neighbor child rushed in. "The prophet is back. He goes to the house of Jairus," he said. So quickly, I wrapped my cloak around me. My feet became wings. My hope soared to the rooftops until I saw the multitude. I could look down from the hilltop street and see the crowd coming up. I was determined not to move until he passed my The press of bodies was great, and I flattened myself against the doorway to keep from being swept ahead of the crowd. And when I saw him a few cubits before me, I bent my shoulder into the human mass. In the center was he who I must implore for healing. Around him, they were called what he calls disciples. And I knew this must be the time. I wanted to call, but who was I to call among the hundreds? So I bit my lip and I pushed hard. The heavy weakness started coming in waves, and I cried in my heart to Yahweh for strength. The crowd moved on, the turmoil of bodies constantly shifting. Could I reach him? Already the press behind him had moved past me. Perhaps if I could touch his clothes, I would be made whole. Frantically, I clawed at the tunics ahead of me, but there was no opening. Then I bent and discovered that the press of the crowd was less near the ground. So I stood once more to glimpse his place, and then I bent and I plunged to touch the hem of his garment. I clung to it with my fingers. For a moment, I felt feet lifting around me. In that moment, he stopped. Who touched my clothes? I let go. I knew I was healed. One of his disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging around you, and yet you ask, who touched you?" Fear at my boldness tore at my heart, but a greater joy overwhelmed my being. Even to trembling, fear and joy together forced my tongue, and I spoke, "It was I, Master. I touched you." Then he said these words that embraced me with warmth. "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Go now in peace. You are rid of this plague. There I kissed his feet and I looked for a moment in his eyes. Then, not minding the crowd, I pressed to the edge and I ran with joy and strength to my house. And then I wept, tears of thanksgiving and praise. I have this day been freed. I don't know your stories, and I don't know what you carry this day. Whether you ask for healing on behalf of yourself or someone else, but I'd invite you to come and to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. To be healed. Ask him for healing. Pray for what you need. Come. Come. Jesus, thank you for being our healer. We know that life isn't easy. Each of us has our own stories. We carry our own burdens. Thank you for promising to walk with us. Thank you for giving us hope when things seem hopeless. God, as we continue to walk into this semester, may we, like Judith, feel your arms, your embrace wrapped around us, going with us in spaces and places that are difficult, rejoicing with us when we rejoice and crying with us when we cry. Thank you for being healer and teaching us what it means to be your disciples who also show others the healing that you bring.